It's time to talk to the doctor himself, the head coach of the Golden State Warriors, Stephen Douglas Kerr. What's going on, Steve?
Never gets old hearing that reference.
It doesn't. It really doesn't.
Well, let's not push it. Let's be selective.
Oh, man. How you been?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good.
Good.
Good. You got to be thrilled with what you've seen from Clay so far. I mean, of course there's going to be a little bit of rust, but if I didn't know any better and I was just looking at him moving, running up and down the court, shooting, playing defense, I mean, I'm thrilled watching him play right now. It's almost like the results of what he does on the court is secondary to how he looks, and he's actually been playing well, but he looks even better.
Yeah, I agree. He's moving so well laterally. He looks strong. He looks bouncy. He's just, I think, in a great place physically after 2.5 years. It's obviously a testament to all the work he's put in and the preparation over the last couple of months with all the scrimmaging. But man, I agree. He looks great.
Will it be a gradual ramping up with him? I mean, will he go from like 20 to 24, 28, and then ultimately to 35? Or do you think once he gets through and he looks good and everything's good, and once the minute restrictions are off, then it's just like this is what it's going to be from here on out?
Yeah, it's really up to Rick and his staff. You know, they're monitoring everything on a day-to-day basis, and this current format will continue the next couple of games, you know, 20 minutes or so, and then I would think we'll ramp it up next week. But it really all depends on how Clay progresses and how he's doing week to week. But this is definitely the plan, you know, to start out here and to ramp it up as he goes.
Do you ever go to them and go, you know, I appreciate what you guys do, but are you guys just guessing? Like 20 minutes? Is it just like you just wanted to go with a nice round number? I mean, why not 18? Why not 22? Why 20? 20 just sound good?
Yeah, we actually laugh about that sometimes. The first night, it was an 18-minute limit, and Rick sits right behind me. And I said, Rick, he's at 18. I mean, would two more kill him? And he goes, no, two more is fine. So I just don't know how many more times I could ask that, though. Like, you know, at some point, it's like, okay, enough.
You know, Rick, would 14 more minutes kill? I mean, come on, what are we talking about here? I know you've said this, and I agree with you when you say offense is never a worry with this team because eventually they're going to figure this out. And I tend to agree with you on that because you got a number of really good offensive players on the team. I think a lot of it is Steph's numbers have been off recently, and therefore when he's such a big part of the offense, the numbers of the offense are going to struggle a little bit. And it's not like I'm worried about him, but it's just something I've never seen before. I've never seen him go through like a 10-game stretch shooting 30% from three, and people ask me, what do you think's wrong? I'm like, I don't know. I have nothing to base it on. It's so unlike Steph that I'm assuming at some point he's going to get out of it and start rolling and just be who Steph is. And it started with the chase for the record in Portland a couple weeks ago here at home. That's been over for a while now. Is there anything that you see that is different, or is it just one of those things you can't explain and eventually he'll figure it out?
I don't think he can really explain it. I mean, he looks great physically. He's moving well. He looks quick and strong and he's had some games where he's had really good looks. And then there's been some other games where, you know, maybe we haven't executed as well, and I think that's where we have to really focus as a staff and as a team is, you know, we've got to think about how can we get great shots instead of just decent ones. And that's what stands out to me as we watch tape as a staff and we look at all the numbers, you know, over the last 10 games, we're not getting great shots. We're getting some good ones, but I think we can do a better job as a team of, you know, really, really trying to get great shots for each other. And that means, you know, staying spaced and, you know, drive and kick it and then swing it one more time. And And when you really lock in on that stuff and you get a bunch of easy shots early, then the tougher ones tend to go in. You get a rhythm and all that. So I think it's going to come. I'd be shocked if it didn't. But we got a few things to clean up for sure.
Yeah, got it.
You know, you guys are clearly one of the best teams in the league, but you've lost three out of the last three and four over the last seven. I was asking Tom, what's the dog days of the season? But I mean, how do you know how hard to push? Because it is such a long season. You don't want them to get tired of your voice. How do you keep your team engaged and not make too much of the mid-season struggle?
Yeah, I think that's all part of coaching an NBA team. You know, it's you're pacing the group over 82 games. You're not getting too high or too low. You understand where the lulls are going to come. I mean, these are the dog days for sure. I mean, you know, after Christmas to the All-Star break is traditionally the toughest time in the NBA, where, you know, the novelty of the season beginning is over and, you know, you're banged up a little bit and there's still a few weeks till you're going to get that break that everyone is looking forward to. And then I think for us, it's also coming on the heels of Steph's record chase, which was very emotional. And so there's kind of been a hangover a little bit involved in that. And you put all that together and plus a tough schedule and some injuries and stuff. It's all part of it. So we just have to get through this. This is going to be a really difficult trip. Milwaukee tomorrow, Chicago, and then Minnesota. And, you know, we've just got to keep plugging away and understand that it's the big picture. It's 82 games, and, you know, we're going to deal with some ups and downs.
Steve Kerr joining us on the Tolbert, Kruger & Brooks show. He is on the UMA guest line. Would your ability to get better shots or even better, to be able to go from good shot to great shot, would that increase with Draymond's presence on the court?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course. I mean, he's our leading assist guy. He's kind of our point forward. He's one of our best screeners. So all of that will happen. But, you know, having said that, over the last 10 where we've struggled, you know, he played in seven of them, I think. So he's not just going to fix everything. It's really a group effort and a coaching staff issue to solve. So that's what today's practice was about. We had a really good film session, and we looked at a lot of the possessions where maybe we were forcing things, maybe we were driving into traffic too much, not kicking the ball out, that sort of thing. And again, you know, this is stuff that we go through every year in a long season. You just have to constantly be evaluating and then smoothing over the rough edges, and every once in a while you have a bigger issue to resolve, and you figure it out and you do it, and then you keep moving forward.
So you want to be an NBA head coach. Can you give us an update on Draymond?
Well, he's doing well. He's not going to fly here to Milwaukee or Chicago for the games the next 2 days. It's unlikely that he would fly to Minnesota too at that point, even if he's feeling a lot better. I don't know if it makes sense to fly him across the country for one game and back. But he's doing better. He and Rick have been working together at our facility in San Francisco the last couple of days, and I've had good reports. But he's not about to get on a plane and we're not there yet where he could just, you know, show up and be fine. So we're going to be really careful like we are with all of our guys.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
just to make it clear, you said he's not going to fly, so we're going to rule out all other modes of transportation as well, right?
Yeah.
He's not going to take a
cruiser. He's not going to be on the Madden cruiser.
Just want to make sure they had a balloon in or something to Chicago.
What about teleportation?
That would be nice. You could do something like that. I don't want to make too big a deal of this because it's two games. It's not that big a deal. But to me, it is worth keeping an eye on. How do you make sure, with Clay coming back, and Clay's going to do Clay, how do you make sure that Andrew Wiggins stays aggressive when he's out there with Clay? It's not necessarily his personality, per se, and when he's out there with Steph or when Steph's off and he's on, it's easier for him to be aggressive. Now with Clay out there, I think it's tougher. It's easier for him sometimes, I think, to kind of say, you know what, they can do it, and now it's kind of be the third option and see how that goes. How do you make sure you tell him, no, when we run stuff for you or you have something, you got to stay aggressive?
Really, it's as simple as that, as just telling him. You know, and I talked to him when we scrimmaged in Denver a couple weeks ago. I told Wiggs, don't worry about Clay. He's gonna find his shot. So don't defer to him ever. Just play your game. Be aggressive. I talked to him after the first game, the other night at home, and I talked to him just today at practice. It's just a constant reminder that with Steph and Clay, they're gonna bomb away, and there's gonna be times where you might come up and down the floor four times and not touch the ball. So that's where, I got to call a play for you, but you also need to make sure you're attacking. Like when you have an advantage, don't worry about those guys, but, make sure you attack and you're constantly being aggressive because we need him to play that way in order for us to be a good team.
Now tell me if I make too big a deal of this or it's something that I should just drop. Because I say with Andrew Wiggins, he is what he is, and really, I never want to minimize what he does defensively because he's really good defensively for you guys. And the scoring kind of comes and goes. He's not a playmaker, so the assists aren't going to be there. But I still can't help but say he's got to get better rebounding. And maybe I'm barking up a tree where no one's home. The train left the building, however you want to phrase it. I just see a guy at 6'8", 215, who is super athletic, that should be getting a rebound every 4.5, 5 minutes minimum, like 5-6 rebounds, maybe even 7-8. But 6.5 rebounds a game should not be all that difficult for a guy of his athleticism. Yet there are some games I look and he's on the glass. Some games I look and he has 2 rebounds. Or even against Utah, he had 0 rebounds. Now, it doesn't affect you guys as much. You guys are number one defensive rebounding efficiency or percentage. And you're in the middle of the pack offensive rebounding. So you're still a really good rebounding team as a whole. I'm just thinking it could be better. And I always – and when I see his ability, I just want more. I'm like, he could be even better than he is now. So, I mean, do you think that's even attainable? Should I just say, screw it, he is what he is, and that's just the way it's going to be? Or is it something where – I mean, you even talk to him about it and say, hey, we could use a little more from you on the glass.
No, I think it's definitely attainable. You know, one of the great things with Andrew is that he's really coachable. And since he's been here, he's made some real improvements in areas that weren't his strong suit, before he became a Warrior.
Defense,
catch and shoot. Catch and shoot threes, defending on ball. Mm-hmm. So, Andrew's a guy who, if you ask him to do something, he'll lock in on it. And I think, he's definitely capable of doing more on the glass. And it's something that, we're pushing for. And I think it's going to be interesting too, because with Clay back, we're going to look at some different lineups and, Andrew could even play the four. We could go with some really, smaller shooting lineups where he's at the four and Draymond's at the five. And if that's the case, we're definitely going to need more out of him on the glass.
Steve, I'll tell you, one of the things I love about what the NBA has done in recent years is the whole advent of the G League. And it gives these young guys a place to go and get some run. And I love what I'm seeing out of Moses Moody, 37 in a game. He had 31 in a game. I saw that you said you liked his competitive fire. I mean, what can you tell us about Moody? If Moody had to play right now, do you think he could get meaningful minutes? And looking back on your own career, would you have liked a G League opportunity, you know, in those early years?
The answer is yes. I mean, I think the G League's great. I went to the game in Memphis the other night when Moses had 37. It was the night before our game against the Grizzlies, and both he and Jonathan played, and it was really great to see them in action and playing big minutes, and great for them. You know, you're able to make some mistakes without those mistakes really, you know, mattering, you know, like they do in an NBA game. And so that's the point of the G League. And what I see with Moses is a guy who's just got a really good feel. He's long and shoots it well, and he's smart. And there's no doubt he's going to be a rotation player for us, you know, sooner rather than later. I mean, we got a really deep team this year, and it's going to be hard for him to crack the rotation. But he's got a long career ahead of him. He's going to be, I think, a starter, an excellent defender, 3-point shooter, and even a little bit of playmaking too. So I'm a huge fan.
Warriors head coach Steve Kerr on the OMA guest line here on the Tolbert, Kruger, and Brooks show. How you doled out Steph's minutes, it seemed last night it was more along the lines of what you did last year. Am I reading that correctly? And if so, does that have to do with Clay coming back, or did you just feel it was time to go back to what you felt like worked last year?
No, you know, we've altered the rotation a few games ago where, you know, Clay's going to play about the first 9 minutes mm-hmm. of the game. And he likes that just so he can get a rhythm. Last night, I think we were putting Gary Payton in for him. And Gary sat at the scorer's table from the three-minute mark until the two-second mark of the first quarter. And so And Gary, you know, Gary finally just walked back to the bench, and of course, I gave him the obligatory "Great job, Gary! You were really good out there."
What impact the
and
game?
He really made a big impact. And then, of course, Steph came off at 2 seconds, and I said, "Get your rest. We'll go back to you at the top of the second quarter. So get a good rest here in the next, you know." And he laughed. But the rotation was completely thrown off by the lack of a whistle, and that's okay because we adapted and closed the first quarter strong, partly because Steph was out there, mm-hmm. and then we just tried to get him a few more minutes rest at the top of the second. Stuff like that happens, and you just have to adapt, but. You know, we're with Clay back, we are having to reshuffle rotations, not necessarily Steph's, but some other guys for sure.
Sure.
Would you say if you looked at last night's game, the number one reason you guys lost is you kept throwing the ball all around the infield in the first half?
Yeah, we were throwing the ball into the dugout a couple of times. it was not... Not our finest hour, and particularly against Memphis. You know, they're a really good defensive team, and they're a really good transition team. And we ended up with, I think, 17 turnovers, which not a terrible number, but like six in the first 5 minutes that just allowed Ja to get out in transition, and we couldn't get our half-court defense set up. And that's just a lack of focus. We made some really poor decisions early on, and so I know we can clean that up. We did clean that up in the second half and played a much cleaner half. Without Draymond, we're gonna kind of play around with some different combinations. And you know, Clay being back, we're looking at some different things. So we're at an interesting phase of the season right now, and we're not going to be clicking quite yet. But I'm confident we can put a better game together tomorrow.
Before we let you go, I'll give you a chance to upset some people and agree with me. Beal Street is so overrated. So overrated. So disappointing.
I'm trying to think if I have any friends from Memphis who are going to be upset with me.
Yeah.
And I don't. So, yeah, I agree with you.
It is totally overrated. It is alarmingly... an alarmingly short walk down Beal Street.
My goodness.
It is not Bourbon Street by any stretch of the imagination.
It should be. Is there a better name than street, like, for just like a
Beal Alley, you
know, Beal Corby, yeah, Beal
Alley,
yeah.
Beal Alley. Yeah. Yeah. You know, you guys are getting me in huge trouble. This
yeah.
is
oh, I know, man, I know. Beal Lane is yeah. what it should.
By the way, did you notice them booing Andre Iguodala?
Oh, it was like
time?
A hockey
yes,
game.
Absolutely.
Yeah, every time he touched the ball, boo. I had to think about why they were doing that for a second.
Well, now they're going to be booing me next game. So
yeah, exactly. Well, we do what we can.
Andre will be happy.
Yeah,
Andre
right.
Be yeah, that's right.
I remember when we went to Memphis for the playoffs. Guy, when was it 15? And I was like, "Oh, cool, gonna go check out Beale Street." And it was just around the corner from the hotel. So I walk out of the hotel and go to Beale Street, take a left, and I look down, and immediately I turned right. I looked over my right shoulder. I go, "Well, it's got to be more down there, doesn't there?" Nope, oh. That's it. I was like, "Oh, damn."
Nope.
I go, "Golly, I mean, I could have like 10 beers and still get from one end to the other in under 30 seconds. Easy." I mean, that's how yeah. short it was. I was, again, it's a nice street. It has a couple cool bars there and a couple cool restaurants, yeah. but dang. Yeah, I mean, come on. That was like Billy Barty Street. It's so short. Unbelievable. Anyway. All right, let's get the hell out of here. Nobody under the age of 50 is like, what are you guys talking about? Who are you talking about?
I know who Billy
yeah.
Barty was.
Yeah, I mean, I could have gone Vern Troyer. Maybe people would have understood what I was talking about that thing. Anyway, Steve, as always, always fun. We'll talk to you. Good luck in Milwaukee, Chicago, Minnesota, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you,
Steve. Thanks, Steve.
We appreciate it.
Disappointed.
Yeah, very much so.
Disappointed when I first saw it. Like, wow, I got a lot of hype here, and that's all I get? Come on.
Steve's going to get booed, and you're going to be smiling, probably.
Oh, absolutely. Are you kidding me?
It's like seeing a Mona Lisa in person. You're like, really? That's it? It's tiny. I was expecting a lot more than that. I got on the plane and came all the way over here to see basically a postage stamp. The Warriors, they like us. We like them. And they asked us to do them a favor. And I shall read the following. Tickets for all Warrior home games when the Warriors return home to tip off a 7-game homestand with the Pistons on January 18th. Tickets are available. And they are always available at warriors.com. That's also where season ticket holders and other fans resell tickets that are 100% guaranteed by the Warriors organization. Even in the event of a sellout, tickets are always available at warriors.com.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
we're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.